power and the life of the Holy Spirit is important to each and every one of us.
Yeah.
And it's the life source within the church.
Mm.
Hallelujah. And so praise Amen. God that we still, even on Zoom, you can still sense the yeah. presence of the Lord
yeah.
Moving amongst us. I just want you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we should be reading from verses 1 through to 13. And I've entitled today's word, "We Must Be Prepared."
Amen.
We must be prepared. And by being prepared, we're following the example of the Lord Jesus, because he said, "I go to my Father," and he's gone to prepare a place for us.
Yeah.
So the principles are of the Lord Jesus. He's he's always preparing. And so we must also be prepared. So let's have a look at Matthew chapter 25 and verses 1 through to 13. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout.
Yeah.
Behold,
Amen.
The bridegroom comes. So coming out to meet him, they then all arose. All the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out.' But the prudent answered and saying, 'No. There will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. Mm. And those who were ready went in to him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut.
Mm.
And later the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered and said, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'" We'll stop there. This is a parable that the Lord Jesus was teaching up on the mountain, and he was sharing this with the people that were gathered and his disciples. And so often, many times the Lord Jesus refers to the kingdom of God. Often it's referred to as a marriage situation. And so we find that even in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 2, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 2, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son.'"
Mm.
There's a likeness. The first miracle that Jesus ever performed was at a wedding. So, you know, there's a real underlying principle in this. And right at the beginning of life in the Old Testament, God made Adam and Eve. Again, it's about relationships. God is into relationships.
Yeah.
God is into relationships. And today, God wants you to be in a relationship with him.
Amen.
And that's not just a casual relationship that God is talking about. It is an intimate relationship that God is speaking of.
Amen.
when Jesus talks about a wedding, about coming in as the bride and groom and together consummating the marriage. So it is about a very personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's a very personal relationship with our Father God. Now, the virgins, are a reference to those who have heard the call. Have you heard the call?
Yeah.
Have you heard Jesus calling your name?
Yeah.
Have you sensed the Holy Spirit calling you, drawing you to God?
Yeah.
And if you've heard that call, then we should be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. This is what the calls are. This is the reference of the brides, of the virgins, that they've been called. And they should be part of the bride, should be part of the Church of Jesus Christ. The oil is a reference and a representative of the Holy Spirit. It's a presence, His presence, living in each and every one of us as individuals, living in our lives as an individual. This is the presence of God in our lives through the oil of the Holy Spirit. The lamp is, in one sense, a reference. It's like our body, in which the oil of the Holy Spirit inhabits His people. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, as the Holy Spirit inhabits us, and then we begin to act out the living presence of Christ in the world today. That's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
We're here to act out the living presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world today. And so we need to be those vessels filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit, and our bodies are the temples of a living God. And so it is important that we realize this, that we must prepare this temple. We must prepare ourselves.
Amen.
To be fit for service for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Prepare ourselves for when He, the bridegroom, comes to take us into Himself, to become totally part of Him, to be totally being fulfilled in Him. Mm. Here in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is basically finishing His teachings to the crowd on the Mount of Olives. The Lord teachings are challenging.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. There's one thing that the Lord Jesus intended to do, and that was He came to challenge people.
Yeah.
He came to challenge the system.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, the Word of God is still the same. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And it is about challenging you and I as to where we are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
It's challenging us, and it is there to move us forward. Sometimes we get upset. I know I've been upset by the Word of God at times. I've been upset by what God has said to me. I've fallen out with God. But guess what? He always wins.
Amen.
He always wins, let me tell you. And I ended up coming back and having to repent. And through that repentance, I went full time into ministry.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd have kept on in rebellion, I wouldn't be here today with you guys. Maybe some of you guys would not be here today. And so sometimes we can, it's okay occasionally, you know, it's okay. You can have your bit of a paddy, but guess what? You have to come back. You have to realize that you are, in the end, you were wrong.
Mm.
God is perfect. God is always going to be right.
Amen.
And so that means that if God is always right, and if I'm arguing with Him, then I must be wrong. Simple as that. And so we have to get to that place where we realize that even when God challenges, He's challenging us that He might change us. He's challenging us that He might help us focus. He's challenging us that He might take us to another level.
Mm.
He's challenging us because He knows He's got something better for us than where we're already at.
Amen.
So we have to be challenged, but we have to learn to respond to the challenge and not react to the challenge.
Yeah.
And there are differences. By reacting to it, we are kicking off, we rebel. Many of us don't like that word, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the heckles of our at the back of our neck rise up sometimes when we get told, no, you can't have, no, you can't do, no, you can't go. No, you can't go out. You're in lockdown. You're, but I want to go out, you know, and but no. And so we don't like that two-letter word, no. We always want to hear yes, and we're just like children when we start acting like that. Sometimes God has to say no to us because what we want is not good for us. And so when it's not good for us, it will cause us to sin, it will cause us to stumble, it will cause us to fall. And so we need to hear the word of God to us. We need to be listening. We need to take upon that word that was said, not my will, Lord, that the Lord Jesus said, but thy will be done. And we need so important, that is so important in our lives, that we need to be saying, not my will, Lord, but your will Amen. Be done. Yeah. And as we do that, we will see God moving in our lives in great power. We'll see God moving through us. We'll see God using us. You see, God sent Jesus so that he might begin the process of equipping the saints for their work in the Amen. Ministry. Jesus began it by the fact of bringing us to the place of being saved through the cross, mm-hmm. through the work of the cross. And so by this work going on in our lives, he's preparing us for ministry. Mm-hmm. He's preparing you for a purpose and a plan and a future. We have a sure and certain hope and purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has not finished with you yet. In some cases, God has not even started with some of you. Hallelujah. Mm. And so we have to begin to move forward in the things of the kingdom. Don't let circumstances and situations stop you from getting the best of what God has for you.
Amen.
I'll say that again. Don't let circumstances, don't let situations, whether it be in the past where somebody's said something to you, where somebody's done something to you, do not let that rule and reign over your life. Let the word of God rule. Let the kingdom of God rule Amen. Over your life. And in doing so, you will see your life being fulfilled. You will see the kingdom of God coming into your life and doing great and mighty things. Mm-hmm. So we see Jesus here. He's here to challenge us. He challenged Peter. Peter said, you know, I'll never deny you. I'll never leave you. What did he do? Confronted by a young teenage girl. Hey, this grown-up tough fisherman wants to wield a sword. And then he turns around and this little girl challenges him and said, you're one of his disciples. And he starts cursing and swearing and he denies Christ and the cock crows. You see, even the smallest insignificant thing can cause us to stumble. We think we're strong. Mm-hmm. We're only strong when we have the Spirit of God Amen. Moving in our lives. Amen. We're only strong when we have the Word of God in our lives. Mm-hmm. Because we're weak. Mm-hmm. You know, when the presence of God is not upon us, we are weak people.
Mm-hmm. We are.
When the presence of God is not moving in our lives, we're weak. And that's what the enemy wants to get us to. He wants to get you out of fellowship with God. He wants to get you out of your Bible. He wants to get you out of your prayer life. And in doing those things, he begins to weaken you because that is your food. Mm-hmm. That is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The strength comes from the word. The strength comes from the relationship that each and every one of us have with the Lord Jesus. In our weaknesses, we become strong because we take upon us the strength of the Father. We take upon us the word of God that moves through our lives mightily. Mm-hmm. And so we need to realize that Jesus came to challenge. But in challenging, he also came to encourage us.
Yeah.
And in challenging us and encouraging us, he also came to equip us.
Mm-hmm.
He came for the equipping of the disciples. Are you a disciple?
Yeah.
Are you a disciplined follower of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that is what a disciple is. I'm not talking about a church attenders. I'm talking about a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about being a Christian, because that's only in name only. I am talking about people who have made that absolute total decision there from that song I remember, no turning back.
Amen.
No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, there is no turning back. There is nothing to turn back for.
No.
These things are short-term pleasures. Mm-hmm. These things will not last. And so for us who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will follow him through the deepest river.
Amen.
To the highest mountain. Mm-hmm. To the lowest valley. Through barren, through abundance, wherever he leads me, I will follow. And as we follow him, we will see victory in our lives. Yes, there'll be circumstances and situations that we find challenging, but that's part of the journey. That's part of the excitement of the journey with the Lord Jesus, that we go through the challenges. We come out in victory. When the children of Israel were being led through the wilderness, they didn't go through just nothing happening in their lives. There were challenges that they faced. There were difficulties that they faced. There were circumstances that were bigger than them.
Amen.
But God was, it was not bigger than God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have a great, big, wonderful God.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. Yeah. And we have to rejoice in that and remember that. We have to remind ourselves that God is bigger than my circumstance.
Yeah.
God is bigger than my situation.
Yeah.
God is greater than what is going on in this world today.
Yes.
And my eyes have to be fixed firmly upon him.
Mm-hmm.
And that my destination, my final destination, is to be with him in heavenly places, to be in his presence. That's our destiny. That, you know, we're just journeying through this land today. There was a song that was sung by, Jim Reeves. This world is not my own.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a passing through.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. We've, our destiny is not here.
No.
We're not living 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and then that's it.
No.
This is the journey to eternity.
Amen.
This is the journey that we are traveling day by day. And our destination is eternity, heaven, in heavenly places, with our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
That's the journey that we're traveling on. That is the purpose for our lives. And our purpose in the other purpose of our life is that we would bring people to Jesus, that we would introduce them to the Christ,
mm-hmm.
that we would show them the power of a resurrected Jesus going and flowing through our lives.
Amen.
As an individual. And so for you and for me, you know, Jesus is reminding them and challenging them at this time in this parable to be watchful. That's for, firstly, we have to be watchful. And we have to begin to prepare for the return of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We are preparing ourselves. In other words, we are preparing ourselves spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
That we are ready, because God has plans for us in the future. In eternity, we're not just going to sit around and just, you know, sit on golden thrones and sing songs.
No.
Hallelujah. We, you know, when you read some of the parables and Jesus said, you know, I will make you ruler of 10 cities.
Yeah.
It's not sitting around doing nothing.
No, you've got to learn.
God is a God. God is a doing God.
Yeah.
God is an active God.
Mm-hmm.
God is a God with purpose. Jesus was never still very long anyway. I mean, there were times when he was, when he said, come, it is time to rest a while, when we need to refresh ourselves. And he would go up the mountain. He would go and spend time in the presence of the Father. Now, if Jesus needed to spend time in the presence of his Father to recharge himself and to re-equip himself, then so do we.
Mm-hmm.
And in coming together as we do, and not be long before we come in together physically again, that we will come together and we will be empowered and refreshed and charged as we encourage one another and as we come around the Word of God, because the Word of God is our life source.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God is our power pack.
Yeah.
The Word of God is that which gives us life, and life with an abundance.
Amen.
And it is the Word of God that equips us to live in this life.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many, there's so much being talked about at the moment of mental health issues through this lockdown.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not locked down.
No.
I'm locked in with Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not locked down. I'm locked in with Jesus. And by being locked in with Jesus, I've cast all my cares upon him. That's what the word tells us to do. Cast all your cares. That means to hurl them as far away as possible and don't pull them back. Hurl them away. And as we cast our care upon the Lord Jesus, we're not in a lockdown. We're in a relationship. God is, use this time that where God can prepare each and every one of us for his praise and for his glory. Let's just have a look at verse 3. It says there, "For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them." I don't believe that Jesus, when Jesus is in to speaking in this parable, when he speaks about the lamps of oil, this is not a reference to actual oil that is to burn in the lamp, but it is a reference to the Holy Spirit and our relationship and our companionship with the Holy Spirit. Today, we need to have a presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Without him, we have little to offer the world today. You can speak all the words you want out of the Bible. If these words are not anointed, if these words are not empowered by the Holy Spirit, they are just words. And we need to go beyond words. We need to go into the power of the word.
Amen.
And so it's important. So the oil is the oil of the Holy Spirit. And so daily we should be being filled. And as we are being filled daily, then we're pushing out the doubts, the fears, the unbelief, that which challenges us, and we're pushing it away. That which seeks to come against us, we're pushing it away. And so the presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit begins to move through us and flow through us, and we are touching lives. You know, when you send a message up on Messenger, when you call somebody on the telephone, you can touch a life. You can change your life. You can pray for people over the telephone and they can be healed. They can be delivered. They can be set free. I've seen it done. You know, the Lord's allowed us to do it where we've ministered into people's lives over the telephone, and the power of God has gone down that telephone line, if you want for the better word. And God has moved by his Spirit. You see, God is not limited by time and space. Time's nothing to God. Time does not exist as far as God is concerned. Time exists for you and for me. But for God, time does not exist. The word tells us that we don't know the day nor the hour when the Lord shall return. Only the Father knows, and he will pick it. He's not interested in time. He's eternal. Eternity never ends. You know, we are beings that are transient at this point in time. Our life, we have a lifespan in this physical frame. That is not how God intended us to live. God created us for eternity. Hallelujah. And so our life is an eternal life. And in Christ, when we're born again of the Spirit of God, when we're living in that relationship, when we are charged by the Spirit of God, we know that one, you know, that there will come a time when we leave this earthly body, but we won't die.
No.
We shall live forever. Hallelujah. And so we need to realize this. And so the presence of God in our lives, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in our life, is that which gives us the abundance. That it's that which brings us peace. It's that which gives us joy. It's that which causes us to be excited about the future. Are you excited about the future in Christ Jesus? Because I am. I'm excited about the future in Christ Jesus, because I know God has a plan, God has a purpose. This virus did not catch God out. This was not something that God did not see coming. He says he knows the end from the beginning. He says he knows all things. And so we're not caught out by this. God is not caught out. God has a plan for my life. God gave us that church building that we're in. God is going to fill it.
Amen.
And we're making plans towards it being filled. We're getting it ready. Some of the guys are getting down there on Mondays and Tuesdays, and we are getting things ready.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are preparing. Mm-hmm. We're preparing physically. We're preparing spiritually. And you know, the Lord wants you to be prepared. Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be willing? Are you going to say, yes, Lord, here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord.
Amen.
You know, that's the thing. God is looking for people who will serve him.
Yeah.
God is looking for disciples
yeah.
who will serve him, not for a price, not for a fee, not for glory and fame, but will serve him because of him who came to serve us when he washed our feet, when he came and served, when he came and died upon the cross. We're serving that the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 4 of chapter 25 says, but the prudent took oil in their flasks along with their lamps. When it speaks that they, first of all, that they took no oil, they had oil in their lamps. The foolish ones just had oil in their lamps. They just had a lamp with a container, and they got this little lamp, and it was okay. It's working. Mm. They didn't plan to take some more with them.
Mm-hmm.
The wise said, "We'll take some more because we're not sure exactly how long this might be."
The long haul there.
And you and I have got to be in for the long haul.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we've got to be in for this long haul. And so the other container speaks of really having a relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, because they've got other oil.
Mm-hmm.
They've got it ready. They've filled themselves to full and overflowing with the Word of God. They've not just got a light that's shining, but they've got a reserve supply. There's an abundance within them, and mm-hmm. they know they've got that with them. They're prepared. They filled themselves to full and overflowing.
Amen.
The church today needs to be filled full and overflowing.
Amen.
And as we overflow, you know, just let's drip some of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's drip some of the Holy Spirit on people's lives as we meet them, as we touch them, as we come into contact with them, as we share with them. Drip the presence of a living Jesus upon people. That's what we need to be doing. That when you come into contact with people, they suddenly say, wow, what is it about you? There's something different. There's something real about you. There's something that's special. What is it? It's the presence of the Holy Spirit that lives and breathes and flows through me.
Mm-hmm.
Does it live and breathe and flow through you?
Amen.
This is God at work in our lives. This is the Almighty God. This is the presence of God moving through us. Being filled with the Spirit, as we let our lights shine out, as we burn for Christ, our spirit should be burning bright. Our spirit should be glowing from the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yeah.
And that we are being constantly refueled by the Word of God.
Amen.
We are constantly having fresh anointing oil poured into us by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be so, you know, if you take oil and you put it on your hands and then you try to grip something, it can soon, you know. Well, when the devil tries to get hold of you, when you're covered and you're soaked in oil inside and outside, and the devil tries to take a grip of you,
because
he's going to get lose you.
Amen.
You know, you're going to be like, it's like being in the bath and you're trying to catch a bar of soap, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's shooting all over the place and I've got it, you know, and you know, you've all done that, haven't you, at some stage, mm-hmm. trying to get that bar of soap, and there it goes. And we need to be so slippery because we're so anointed with the presence of God that when the devil tries to take a grip of us, he just cannot get a grip. He's just like, where did you just, what happened to you? And you just slip out of his grip. He cannot touch us. He cannot get hold of us because of the anointing that is resident within us. You see, the devil could not touch Jesus.
Nope. He has no part in me.
The devil could not touch Job.
No.
You remember?
Mm-hmm.
God allowed the enemy. God allowed the devil. He said, okay, I'll allow you, but you are not going to take his life.
No.
Hallelujah. You see, God looks at our lives and sees how precious they are.
Mm.
Our life is for a life of service. So God wants you to be a life of service for him, so that the power and the presence of God will flow through you, that people will recognize that God is in you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
There is a need to be constantly being refreshed.
Amen.
I'll say that again. There is a need to be being constantly refreshed. So you and I have to have this well of water, this springing well of water springing up within us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we're not a stagnant pool. We're not a stagnant lake,
Amen. But
we are a well of rivers of living water springing up within us. And it's always fresh.
Woo.
It's always revitalizing. It's always renewing itself. And so when circumstances come upon us and try to break us, to pull us down, that well that springs up within us just washes it off, washes it away, pushes it away. And it begins to flow out of our lives. You see, there's that chorus, was it chorus or a hymn? Spring up, oh well, within my soul.
Spring up,
oh well, and make me whole.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on. And so as we allow the presence of God to spring up via the Holy Spirit in our lives, it brings a refreshing. It brings a revitalization to us. It quickens us. It quickens us mentally. It quickens us physically. It quickens us spiritually.
Amen.
And there is that revitalizing that comes within our lives. Don't let circumstances, don't let situations direct the flow of the Holy Spirit. You know, water can push through and drive its way through. And we need to allow the flow of the Spirit to push through and to drive out everything that is not of God in our lives, to set captives free, to break the power of the enemy. And so we must be prepared for these things. We must be preparing ourselves. Get ready. Because I believe God is a God of breakthrough. And I believe there is a breakthrough on the horizon.
Amen.
You see, the Lord said to his disciples in Matthew, he said, I give you all power and all authority in his name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And it's been given to disciples.
Thank you, Lord.
Not church attenders.
No.
Disciples. There is a massive difference.
Yeah.
There's a massive difference. Committed to following the Lord Jesus, no matter what, no matter where, whether there's a storm blowing and Jesus said, we're going through the storm, you go through the storm.
Amen.
Some of us would say, well, Lord, why don't we just wait here till the storm's gone?
No.
No.
We rule, not the storm.
We go where he tells us.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we wait while this is over? No. We press on.
Amen.
There's a work for Jesus.
None but you
can do. We have to do the things that the Spirit is calling us to do. There's a work for each and every one of us to do. And say, well, I'm not equipped. I'm not empowered. You are equipped. You are empowered. You're being equipped. You're being empowered by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us may need a bit more teaching. That's okay. That's not an issue. We continue to teach the Word of God, to encourage. But the Lord gave us the power to rule and reign.
Amen.
Over circumstances and situations. And we need to learn and rule and reign over, firstly, our own lives.
Amen.
We need to rule and reign over our minds,
mm-hmm.
over our emotions. We need to rule and reign over
yeah.
them. You see, God has given us the power that we are not moved by what we see. We're moved by the word of God. We're not moved by what we see outside. We're not moved by what we hear outside. We're not moved by our emotions when we look and we see it's raining. We think, oh, it's raining, you know. Well, it's raining. It has to rain at some stage to water the earth these days. Otherwise, we've no crops. So it's a blessing. Rejoice in everything, giving thanks to God. And God will move through your life. You see, God is preparing us for victory. God is preparing us for a purpose to touch people's lives. So there needs to be a constancy in our life that we are constant, no matter what the circumstances are going around behind us. It can be there's a storm whirling around. There's a tornado mm-hmm. ripping through our lives. And there it says, peace, be still.
Get to the eye of the storm.
Know that I am God.
Amen.
Get to that very center. Put Jesus back in the center, the Prince of Peace, and there will be peace in that mm-hmm. storm. So be constant. Don't become distracted by things around you. Stay focused
yeah.
on that which God intends for your life.
Yeah.
Let's just turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. And I'm going to just read this from the Amplified Bible. But remember the early days when, after being spiritually enlightened, you patiently endured a great conflict of sufferings, sometimes by being made a spectacle, publicly exposed to insults and distress, and sometimes by becoming companions with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy and deep concern for those who were imprisoned, and you joyfully accepted the unjust seizure of your belongings and confiscation of your property, conscious of the fact that you had have a better possession and a lasting one prepared for you in heaven. Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence.
Yeah.
For it has a glorious and great reward.
Mm.
For you have need of patience,
mm-hmm.
endurance,
mm-hmm.
to bear under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have need of patience,
mm-hmm.
endurance, bearing up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. Wow.
Amen.
We're ready to receive.
Amen.
The fullness of the promise. Enjoy the blessings of God. Yes, sometimes we need to be patient. Not one of my stronger points, I will admit. But the Lord's still working on me Amen. With that. I step by step, I'm getting better day by Amen. Day, I guess.
Amen.
We have to be constant with Him. We've got to endure, pressing in. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. What is this? The first thing that God intended for you is that you were to be restored into a personal relationship with the Almighty God as at the beginning of Wow. creation.
Yeah.
That's God's intention. His intention. This is the first thing God has for you. To be restored into a personal relationship with God Almighty. Wow.
Sends you know, shivers down.
You know, that's just mind blowing. Makes makes the hairs of your head stand up. You know, you can feel, you get goosebumps by the fact that God, even when I say it, I just sense this presence that when I say God wants a personal relationship with me, with you.
Yeah.
It's worth a pause. It's worth considering for a moment. It's worth letting that thought settle into your spirit. God wants a personal relationship with you.
Thank you, Lord.
That ought to move us to tears. That we who are seem to be so insignificant at times, that we who seem to have little or nothing to offer, and yet God sent his son Jesus so that he could restore us back to have a personal relationship. The bridegroom is coming back.
Amen.
For the bride.
Yeah. Thank you.
We have to be ready.
Yeah.
We have to prepare ourselves because he's coming. It is our responsibility to maintain the relationship.
Yeah.
It's not God's. God's done all he's going to do about your relationship with him.
Yeah.
The door is wide open.
Yeah.
The throne room is open to you.
Praise God.
You have to make those steps. You can come in and go out as sons of God. We read in Job where it talks about the sons of God came in and went out with before God. We can go into the presence of God. The curtain was torn by God from top to bottom, so that we have entrance into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
We have entrance into the very presence of Almighty God. We can come to that place. We can feel his touch.
Thank you.
I can feel his presence even now as I'm just sharing this word with you today.
Thank you.
The presence of an Almighty God. The holy oil of anointing.
Amen.
That dripped down the beard of Aaron. You know, God wants you to know him, whom to know is life eternal. God wants you to have a sense of him daily in your life.
Yeah.
I just think, why me, God? Am I really worth that much?
Yeah, priceless.
Each and every one of us is worth that much because he sent his son Jesus. He sent his son to die for the pearl of greatest price.
Yeah.
It says the rich man gathered all he had. This is a picture of God in that parable. When Jesus talks about that parable of the rich man gathering all that he had together to buy the pearl of greatest price. So often people have preached it in reverse, but the truth is God took everything he had, and that was Jesus, that he might buy you back to himself. You are the pearl of great price.
Thank you.
That's another message. Hallelujah. But that just came to mind at that point in time, you know. So Matthew chapter 5 and verses 13 through to 16 speaks and says, you are the light of the world.
Amen.
A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and the glory your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. Don't cover it over.
No.
Don't be ashamed of it. Some of you might say, well, my light's gone out. Well, today it can be relit. Surrender to Jesus. Make him first place in your life. All to Jesus I surrender.
Amen.
All to him I freely give.
Yeah.
I will ever love my Lord Jesus.
Trust him.
Trust him. And as we do that, yes, and in his presence, we daily live. And as we allow the Lord Jesus to come into our lives afresh and anew, some of us might have said, well, you know, I let the candle go out. I let my light go out. I didn't have enough oil. I didn't understand it fully. Well, that's okay. God's a God of second chances.
Amen.
Third chances. You know, while it is still day, there is still time. Whilst we're still here, there's still time. And
the
people, God was calling his people. And today, God is calling your name. He's calling you into a deeper relationship with him. He wants to break the power of the enemy over your life. You know, some of us are living below par.
Yeah.
God wants to see you set free. God wants you to move into a new relationship with him. We, the church, are part of the procession of lights for when the bridegroom comes. Can you imagine that picture that in Matthew chapter 25, you know, when they call out and say the bridegroom is coming and the virgins all come out with their lamps lit. Can you imagine the light show? It's like, we're coming, we're ready. The Bible says, let your light shine. Don't hide it. Stick it out there. Be brave. You know, because we will enter into this bridal preparation ceremony. We shall become the bride of Christ. You know, in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 5, it says, and while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. I think sometimes the church seems to have fallen asleep. We need to stir ourselves. Remember when Jesus went up the mountain to pray? And he took his disciples, three of his disciples with him. He said, watch and pray.
Yeah.
He went back to them later. And what had happened? They'd fallen asleep. And he said to them, could you not watch with me 1 hour?
Yeah.
Today, we need to be as a church watching and praying.
Yeah.
Watching for the opportunity. You know, as we've been working on the building, there have been people coming along. We've taken opportunity, we've taken time out of our day to speak, to share, to minister into people's lives. We're not just working, we're watching, we're praying. We want to see lives changed. We want to see people reach their destiny in Christ Jesus. We want to see people being fulfilled by the presence and the power of God. This world cannot satisfy.
No.
The things of this world cannot make you happy.
No.
Only God can make you satisfied. Only God can give you true joy. Happiness is just an emotion. Joy is something that is real and tangible. And so we have to realize that God wants you to know joy in your life. He wants you to know the very presence of him in your life. It says here in that verse that after midnight there came a cry. Some of us might not be able to stay up while midnight. You know, some of us are early birds. Some of us are night hawks. You know, I can go through the night watches, me. And it's like, wow, okay. I wouldn't say I'm the brightest in the morning, but, you know, I can go through the night. And so some of us are on night watch, and, you know, the midnight cry. And, you know, we have to be there. We have to be ready and be prepared, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, that we're always ready to be ready in season and out of season. You know, that when somebody walks into the church, when somebody walks into your life, that suddenly they're needing something from Jesus. Do you have it available? Have you got your lamp filled with the oil? Hallelujah. I believe that's where the church should be. The oil is symbolizing the change from a state of death and into a state of life.
Yeah.
When the oil of the Spirit came upon the disciples, they were changed. They were empowered. They were changed. Peter became a different man by the presence of the Holy Spirit flowing through his life. I remember when the Lord filled me with his Holy Spirit at 18 years old, I began to become a different person. Mm. The presence of God began to flow through me, and a special presence and boldness of God began to come over me. It wasn't a natural thing, but I had a confidence in my God. I had a confidence in this word, that this word is true. This word will never fail. Never. This word is the promise. This word is life. This word is life-changing. This word is life-empowering. This word is God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our lives. And so we need this word to flow through us. We need this word. Our destiny is decided in life. I'll say that again.
Amen.
Our destiny is decided in life and not in death.
Amen.
When you're dead, it's too late to change your destiny. Our destiny is decided today while we live. Choose you this day who you will serve. Our destiny is decided in life.
Yeah.
So choose you today who you will serve. Will you serve your, will you be self-serving and serve the devil, or will you be serving Christ and serving him whom to know, and to know him whom to know is life eternal? After death, there's no opportunity to change things. It's over. It's done with. Your destiny is fixed. Don't become lazy in serving God. Let your faith be being walked out day by day. Let it be a constant, active faith. Let us have that relationship that keeps going forward, a relationship with him. Don't let it be a relationship that slips into a non-existent relationship.
Yeah.
You know, so many people, I don't know about you, but you can have loads of people on your Facebook who are classed as friends. And the majority of them, you've never heard from them in years. Is that a friend? It's an acquaintance. See, a friend you're in regular contact with. You talk to them, you share with them, you have contact with them, don't you? Yes, no? I'd nod your head if you agree, shake it if you don't, you know, whatever. Friends you communicate with. Acquaintances you occasionally meet. But true friends, they call you. When you're in need, they'll minister to you. When you're in need, they'll minister back to you. That's a friend. An acquaintance says, oh, you know. And it's easy to type in on Facebook and on Messenger, I'll pray for you. Isn't it? But then the next is the question mark behind it. Are they really praying for me? Or have they just saying it? And then they've forgotten. I often, when I'm speaking with people on the telephone, I'll say to them, you know, they may have a problem. And I'll say, I'll tell you what, let's pray right now. And I'll pray with them right there and then. So that I'm not saying, I'll pray for you. I'm doing it right there and then. There's an action. Let's, you know, be people of an action. Do it straight away. Pray. Don't become lazy with your faith. Let your faith become active and powerful, moving things, changing things as it moves through these lives that you've come into contact with. You see, if you're not in contact with somebody, a relationship will collapse. And so you have to continue to keep that relationship going. John chapter 17 and verses 9 through to 7. I love this one, where this is where Jesus begins to pray for his disciples. John chapter 17 and verse 9. And this is Jesus speaking to his Father through to verse 12. I ask on their behalf, that's your behalf, my behalf. I do not ask on my behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I am come to thee, Father. Keep them in your name.
Amen.
The name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. And while I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them will perish, but the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. Here Jesus is praying for his disciples. He's been praying for them. He's been praying that they'll be kept. He's also asking Father God that he will cover you and keep you. It's so easy to, if we're not careful in this world today, to backslide, to slip back, to slip out of a relationship with God, to become cool. We look at the churches in Revelation, and it talks of them being cold and hot and lukewarm and being spewed out of the mouth of God. Let us not become lukewarm. Let us not become cold towards God. Let our walk be a walk where we're on fire. Let's not let the enemy seek to snatch us from the hand of the Father. But let us stay constantly flowing and walking in the presence of a holy God. Let us let our lives be a life that is a life that is glorifying to God. Let us be a life that is a light that is shining out the power and the presence of God, that we might see the kingdom of God in our lives. And verse 7 of Matthew 25, it says, then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. We are to constantly maintain our personal spiritual life. You have to do it. Constantly preparing and just checking yourself. Let the word of God minister into you. And using the word of God so that it becomes a light that shines even brighter as the noonday. And so we have to keep trimming ourselves. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives and walk up, move over our lives and prepare us so that we give that bright light. That we're not a smoky light that is lazy and becomes nothing and becomes slightly discolored, but that we are a true light to the people of God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, so then, my beloved, even as ye have always obeyed, not as in the time of my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring or questioning. Sometimes it's not easy to do, is it? Sometimes we, oh, why should I do that? Why should I do this? Well, that's what the Lord wants you to do. and as we follow him. But I might miss out on something. Let me tell you this. If you follow the Lord Jesus 100%, if you do what he wants you to do, you will never miss out on anything.
No.
It says he will give you the desires of your heart. He will cause you to know his presence and his power in your life. Matthew 25, again, and back to verses 9 and 10. But the prudent answered, saying, no, we will not give you oil. We don't have enough. We might not have enough for ourselves. But instead, go to the dealers and buy for yourself some. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Those who were ready went in. We're ready to go in, because when we're called and we go in, the door will be shut.
Mm.
It says that later in verse 11, later the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. And yet it appears that they knew him initially. Otherwise, that surely they would not have been invited to the wedding. But they'd lost their relationship. They'd lost their purpose. They'd lost their desire. They'd lost their goal. Their daily walk with the Lord had come to an end. They thought they were okay. We walk with him daily. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 and verse 24, and it says this, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross.
Amen.
And daily follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it.
Amen.
That's Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 through to 24. Luke 9, 23 to 24. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. It's a daily thing. It's a daily walk with Jesus. It's a daily purpose with the Lord going forward. It's not something that you do once a fortnight, once a month. It is daily. It is a relationship. It is a marriage.
Mm.
It is a covenant committed relationship that we Amen. Walk with God. And I just want to encourage you today that you will continue on this journey with him.
Amen.
And that you will continually be preparing yourself for works of service. We must be prepared. The Lord bless you. Thank you for listening.